You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
What's up, Wisconsin? How y'all doing today? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Today is one of those days, folks, where I might need to get by with a little help from my friends. That's all of you, because it seems real dark these days. We'll listen to some of that sound. We're going to talk about it a bit. Because we need to, because it's very important. And by that sound, I mean Donald Trump saying out loud what is the hallmark of every fascist. And that is, if you don't agree with me and support me, you're declared an enemy of the country, and I will now mobilize the military to arrest you, lock you up, silence you, punish you, and, you know, I don't know, maybe shoot you. I don't know what other sign you need to be concerned. And so I want to talk about public safety. I want to talk about what safety really means. And I want to hear from each and every one of you. How do you define safety? How do you look at the world and say, this is a safe place for me and my family, for my children, for my parents who may be aging? How do you define safety? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. But of course, I got to tell you all about the incredible lineup we've got today. I'm always excited with the special guests that we've got. I've got one of the Maggie Dawn team. Calvin's helping me behind the board today. Appreciate you, Calvin. And we've got a great show. So it's Tuesday. It's going to be 2:30 at the bottom of the hour. So I'm going to be joined by Chef Adam Pavlak. For a little political relief, we call that segment, Yes, Chef. Chef Adam will join me. We're going to talk today, and I want you to start getting your questions ready on the talk and text lines. What are you having? Do you have a particularly challenging recipe that foils you every time? Do you have a problem with your cookies? Hey, we're coming up on cookie season. Do you need some diagnostics from Chef Adam? It will be like the click and clack of cooking. Not solving your car problems, but solving your baking and cooking problems. Do you have an ingredient that always causes you problems? You don't know where to find it. All of that today on Yes, Chef. Get your questions and comments ready for Chef Adam Pavlak. At 3 p.m., really special episode of Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money today. I'm so excited. I'm going to be able to talk to Representative Congressman Mark Pocan of Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District today at 3 p.m. I've never actually interviewed Mark, which is kind of shocking to me. I can't believe that hasn't happened. So really great, really excited to have Mark with us. We're going to dig in to, you know, where do we stand? What do all of these, the tax policy, the wage proposals, this corporate greed, the corruption, what does all of this mean for Wisconsinites? We're going to dig into that with Mark Pocan. Really excited to have him. And last but not least this afternoon, I'm going to be joined by ProPublica reporter Megan O'Matz. She just put out a piece for ProPublica about drop boxes, but also about this larger ecosystem of, I'm going to call them, the laypersons of election administration. In other words, not the elections officials, not the city and county clerks, not the election administrators, not the nonpartisan folks that work in the Wisconsin Elections Commission or for your county elections commission or for your city clerk's office, not those people who have been doing this for years and years, not those actual experts. I'm going to be talking about partisan elected officials who just decide that they know more than the actual experts and start doing all kinds of wacky things. We're going to talk to Megan Omatz, reporter from ProPublica, today about that at 3:30. So you're not going to want to miss any of that. But I want to know from you, what does safety mean to you and your family? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Because I'll tell you what I think safety means fundamentally in a country like the United States. I'm going to share that viewpoint with you. But we got to build up to that, Calvin. We got to get there. And of course, if you do give us a buzz or you text us, be sure that you say hello and thanks to Calvin. Our production team here at the Maggie Dawn Show does an incredible job. I always give them so many requests for sounds before the show because I never know where we're all going to go together. But I know where I want to start today. So why don't we just jump right in? It has been quite the subject of discussion today and yesterday, but let's take this first cut, Cal. And this is Donald Trump talking about the enemy within.
It's the enemy from within. All the scum that we have to deal with that hate our country, that's a bigger enemy than China and Russia.
The enemy within. Trump used the phrase again in an interview with Fox News yesterday when he was asked whether he expects chaos on election day from outside agitators.
I think the bigger problem is the enemy from within, not even the people that have come in and destroying our country. By the way, totally destroying our country. The towns, the villages, they're being inundated. But I don't think they're the problem in terms of election day. I think the bigger problem are the people from within. We have some very bad people. We have some sick people, radical left lunatics. It should be very easily handled by, if necessary, by National Guard, or if really necessary, by the military.
The enemy within is the radical left. And then he goes on to actually name Adam Schiff. So let's pause and recap here. The Republican nominee for president, in an interview with a national news outlet, said, in response to concerns about disruptions on voting day, that he is more concerned about far-left progressives calling them the enemy within than he is concerned about Russia or China, and that his proposed solution on voting day, question mark, after voting day, on inauguration day, during his administration, who knows, is to dispatch the military and the National Guard against what he calls radical left, but I'm just far left progressives, the AOCs, by his naming Adam Schiff, who, by the way, is not a far left progressive. You may disagree with what a lot of Congressman Schiff says, but the guy's an institutionalist, believes in the institutions that help maintain and preserve our democracy. That's what the guy said. I am left very concerned. Because this isn't, that's not happening in isolation. It's been building, coming to that point. It is the language, it is the tactics of fascists. If you disagree with me, you're an enemy of the state. And that is the opposite of democracy. I have never suggested that a conservative or someone who disagrees with me or the Democratic Party, perhaps on every issue, should be imprisoned because they disagree. And by any objective measure, the mounting threats of violence, the warnings being given to us by our national security advisors, by the Department of Justice, by the FBI, by Homeland Security, is that the rising threat within the United States is not coming from the far left, but that it's coming from the far right. That those who threaten criminal violence are predominantly and increasingly acute and increasing in number threat from far right, fascist, anti-Semitic, racist organizations. That's where the actual threat of criminal violence in this country is coming from. And again, I have never heard any Democrat, not one, of national prominence or frankly any prominence, suggest that the military be dispatched against citizens simply for disagreeing. That's fascism. And listen, last week, Monday, if you missed my show, you can catch it at civicmedia.us. Last week's show, I started with George Stephanopoulos absolutely tongue-tying Speaker Mike Johnson. He wound him into a little knot over his questions, George Stephanopoulos' questions of the Speaker of the House that, why is it okay for Donald Trump to blame Democrats for the assassination attempt earlier this summer in Pennsylvania? There's no evidence of that. And Mike Johnson wouldn't answer the question. That is in and of itself fascist, that allegation, that unfounded, unsupported allegation from the former MAGA president. And now he's doubling down. And yet again, one of the MAGA cult apologists got on a national news program and tried to talk his way out of it. We're going to take that sound next. I'm going to tell you what safety means to me in a democracy, but what does it mean to you? What does it mean for your kids? Should we fear the military because we disagree? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. I'ma keep on running cause the winner don't quit on themselves. Yes, everybody, it is all about control. Mind control, if you will. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. What Donald Trump is suggesting with increasing specificity, seemingly on a daily basis, is that anyone who disagrees with him or opposes him in any form or fashion, whether elected or a media personality or a regular citizen, that they are an enemy of the state. It is the very literal definition of fascism. That is where we're at. Now, Speaker Mike Johnson last Sunday on This Week with George Stephanopoulos could not answer the question that which shouldn't be difficult, like, should the MAGA president be blaming Democrats for the assassination attempt? Like, of course not. Which he did so by name. This is crazy. And Glenn Youngkin, governor of Virginia, got on CNN with Jake Tapper and basically had his butt kicked. We're going to listen to a little of that sound in just a minute, but I want to know, what do you think safety means in a democracy? And I'm just going to remind you of this. After World War II, The Office of Strategic Services, the OSS, the precursor to the CIA, hired a psychoanalyst by the name of Dr. Walter Langer to spend like a year plus analyzing Hitler and like what made Hitler Hitler psychologically. Here are a couple of things that Langer had to say. Hitler was a weakling who needed psychologically to masquerade as a bully. He was a failure, and so he had to cast himself in the role unconsciously for reasons of self-preservation as the Superman. His primary rules were never allow the public to cool off, never admit a fault or wrong, never concede that there may be some good in your enemy, never leave room for alternatives, never accept blame, concentrate on one enemy at a time and blame them for everything that goes wrong, and that people will believe the big lie sooner than a little one if you repeat it frequently enough. Huh. And what we found out from Bob Woodward is that Mark Milley, the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, America's most senior and powerful military office, said that Trump is, quote, fascist to the core. No one has ever been as dangerous to this country as Donald Trump. Now I realize he is a total fascist. He is the most dangerous person to this country. I fear being recalled to uniform and court-martialed for disloyalty should Trump win against Harris this November. Yeah. Let's take a quick look. This is, you know, you are absolutely full of it when you cannot just say the obvious thing, when you cannot deal with the facts, when you dodge the question. And I don't mean just political maneuvering. I'm going to answer the question that I want. When you cannot agree that this is actually what was said and say that's not okay. This is going to be, let's take cut number three, because I think this one is the worst of the bunch. Because what Glenn Youngkin keeps saying is that Trump was actually talking about the border crisis. No, he wasn't. He was talking about the radical left. He said so. Tapper read him the quotes, played him the sound, and Youngkin still won't deal with the actual quote. So listen to cut three.
Obviously, there is a border crisis. Obviously, there are too many criminals who should not be in this country, and they should be jailed and deported completely. But that's not what I'm talking about, because he was talking about sick people, radical left lunatics who should be handled by the National Guard or the military. And then later on in that same speech, he said that that one of the lunatics he addressed was Congressman Adam Schiff. That's who he was talking about using the National Guard and military against, radical left lunatics. Enemy from within, people like Adam Schiff.
Again, Jake, I don't think that the, and again, I can't,
I'm just reading,
I can't
you his
speak
quotes.
For him, but I do think that you are misinterpreting and misrepresenting his thoughts.
Why is that okay? Why can't Glenn Youngkin say, of if that's what he said, I disagree with it. Here's what I want to talk about. Like, that's not what we do in democracies. You can't say that? Mike Johnson can't deal with reality? It's disgusting to me. What do you all make of this? What do you think safety must mean in a democracy for you and for your family, for your kids, for your parents, for yourself? I want to hear from you. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Dale from Oshkosh, what do you have to say?
Well, hi, Maggie. I'm totally in agreement with you. I just want to say that I'm a card-carrying Democrat. I've stuffed envelopes. I've made phone calls, all that good stuff out of the county headquarters. But what really troubles me is I'm contemplating a move to the 8th District. And the other night when I was out at a restaurant, two ladies were talking and about different things. And then all of a sudden the conversation turned to things changed with COVID, and all of a sudden that just was like a dog whistle. And the one person turned it into a mini Trump rally, and basically how it's all, you know, evil conspiracy theories and things like that. I truly think that as Democrats, we need to think beyond, the faculty lounge conversations about these people, because they're a clear and present danger.
I couldn't agree with you more, Dale. By the way, Donald Trump thought we could cure COVID with a little sunlight and bleach. That's about all I have to say about that. The man is a liar and a threat to democracy. Don't ask me. Ask Joint Chiefs Chairman Mark Milley. Robert from West Dallas, you say what?
I think people need to remember what happened when Trump was in office. And really, the campaign needs to step it up. They're doing a terrible job. I could see the ad showing him, you know, when they stuffed protesters into vans out on the West Coast. And also, if you remember the photo op with the Bible where he wanted to cross the street in D.C., that needs to be the ad. You want to go back to this.
Yeah. Folks, we're going to wrap up your calls. I'll give you my definition of safety in a democracy. And then we're going to move on to, yes, chef, what ingredients and recipes are most challenging to you here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. If you're on the line, stay there. I'm going to fit you in after these brief messages. I'm Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked.
Tell me something.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
What's up, Wisconsin and beyond? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm concerned. I'll put it to you that way. I'm concerned that every day I listen to some news or read some news, and what Trump's saying gets more extreme and scarier. And what I'm not hearing from so-called Republicans is a conscience check. Like, hey, no, that's not what we do here. Sorry. And then just pivot back to the issues that they want to talk about. It's just not that hard. You can say that's not acceptable rhetoric. He says extreme things. He can't possibly mean that. But to deny the very reality of the words coming out of his mouth is absurd. I've been talking about the gaslighting of America for I don't know freaking how long. Seems it's more of the same. So I wanted to hear from you. What do you define as safety in a democracy? What do you think in response to these crazy statements by Donald Trump that he'll basically sick on his political opponents, the National Guard, and the military? You know, like fascists. Jim from Brookfield, you say what, sir?
I say the reason why a governor like Youngkin from Virginia does not take the easy off-ramp that you said when, you know, all he has to say is, hey, I don't agree with it. This is what I want to talk about. I think individuals like him are looking for a cabinet position if, heaven forbid, Trump gets a second term. I think he does not want to get, you know, Trump, the supreme leader, all upset because, hey, if I stick up for this guy, I may get myself a choice position in the administration, cabinet, you know, ambassador, whatever.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's that. And I think it's this. When you're dealing with a fascist and you're supposed to be on the team, you don't criticize the Führer. If you criticize the Führer, you end up with those other enemies from within in front of the firing squads. That's what happens to you. So a goodly combination of rabid self-interest, greed, power hunger, and maybe a little, oh my gosh, I don't want to get caught up on the wrong side of this. Joe from Madison, you say what?
I say, Maggie, to use the word safety is exactly the right word to use to for this discussion. I would alert people to an incredible book that came out in 1997 called The Gift of Fear. It was written by a high profile security expert named Gavin DeBecker. And his point of view, and the book was directed a lot toward women, was listen to that little voice that's telling you this situation is getting out of control, it's going wrong, going pear-shaped, and you need to get out of here. He had examples of women, and the one that stuck in my head was the woman who's going up the stairs of her apartment with two bags of groceries, and the helpful guy who will not listen to your nose. I can help you. No, I don't need any help. No, I can see that you can't carry these. Well, I'll carry your groceries. I'll open up the door. Give me the key. Let me inside. I'll drop the groceries off for you. And what do you know? That guy's the rapist. And what stuck with my head was that so often people are told, oh, you're just being a big, you know, fraidy baby. But there's, if you're hearing a sense or a spidey sense, whatever you want to call it, that says, this is not good. This is going to go pear-shaped. You need to listen to it. You don't just walk away from that voice. So often we're told, oh, you're just a big baby and this isn't going to happen. Why wouldn't it happen?
Yeah, that's an excellent point. I'm very familiar, Joe, with Gavin DeBecker's book. It's an incredible tool. The meta point here is important. And that is, if you're feeling uneasy and afraid, we've got to listen to that. And the action to take is to vigorously defend your franchise, to get out there and vote, take your friends and family to go vote, have a voting plan, advocate for yourself. Do not accept this. And hold people like Speaker Mike Johnson and Governor Youngkin accountable. That is not okay. I'm going to close this out because I want to get to my next great guest, Chef Adam Pavlak, to talk about challenging ingredients and recipes and take a break from the politics. But I promised you all I would define what I consider to be safety in a democracy. Everything other than what I'm about to tell you is secondary, even your physical safety. Because that cannot be perfectly guaranteed at all moments and points in time when you live in a country as big and as wide and as broad as the United States, unless you're a billionaire who can pay for personal security. Every other element of safety in a democracy comes second to what I'm about to tell you. The only safety ultimately that truly matters in a democracy is the safety that is guaranteed to each and every one of us in the Constitution to disagree, to criticize, and to do so forcefully. The freedom to think, the freedom to question, the freedom to speak your questions and your doubts and your criticisms. Note that that does not include criminal violence. And when a politician uses rhetoric that is designed to silence you, to silence any group in this country, that is when our democracy is being taken from us. That is when our most fundamental safety is being ripped out of our hands. And people like Mike Johnson and Glenn Youngkin and every other apologist, or frankly, they're not even apologizing. Endorsement of this kind of language is fundamentally a challenge and threat to our safety, greater than any immigration crisis, greater than any border crisis, because we can do something about that. We can enact an immigration bill. We can help secure our border. We can hire more Border Patrol agents. We can hire more immigration judges. We can do better there. But if we trade away our freedom to think and our freedom to criticize and to be heard about our doubts and criticisms, the rest of it is details. So let's pay attention. And while we are afraid, let's be sure we go to the polls. And as fearlessly as we can, together, exercise our right to be heard at the ballot box. We're going to talk about those ballot boxes later today with a very special guest, one of the Cracker Jack reporters from ProPublica. We'll talk more about that, but I'm excited to take a little break from the politics. My good friend, Chef Adam Pavlak, joins me on Tuesdays to talk about food and entertaining and hanging out, because we all need a break from the politics. Welcome back, Chef Adam, it's certainly very good to see you.
Hello, how we doing? Thanks for having me again, always.
Heck yeah, brother. Missed you last week. I had to talk about politics for a whole other half an hour, so it's really good to have you back. But we wanted to get into some of the most challenging recipes or challenging ingredients that people have. Folks, if you're listening to this special episode of Yes, Chef, with Chef Adam Pavlak, owner of Egg and Flour on Milwaukee's Bayview neighborhood, you got a question about an ingredient, a recipe that is constantly perplexing. Do your cookies not come out like cookies, but more like flat crepes? Chef Adam and I are here to help, probably more he than me, because he is the expert here.
I will try with the baking tips. Yeah.
I'll start with
let's keep it savory.
Yeah, I'm all for the savory. Baking is an exact science. That is not what I do. I'm definitely not the baker type. I will start with one of my most favorite recipes of all time. And I'll tell you, Chef Adam, I made this sucker once and I was like, that is it. It was like bench pressing my weight 10 times. I was like, now that I've checked that physical fitness box, I am never doing that again. And it was the recipe that I made from scratch, everything for beef Wellington, and my brain nearly exploded. I am never doing that again. Oh my goodness.
I was thinking that someone was going to come at me with that one. And, you know, there's only a few things that you could do to help that out. And the sure is just getting puff pastry. The H is totally okay. You don't have to make your own puff pastry. Just make sure that you're not substituting that for pie crust or for a different type of dough or croissant.
It's got to be puff pastry.
Yes, exactly. But yeah, that's one that it's like either get ready to spend all day and hopefully it comes out great, so then it's worth it. Or, you know, find a restaurant it's easy to go order and have it brought to you perfectly.
Oh, now that is a good cheat. I always was very resentful of, there was this cooking show for a number of years, Adam. It was called Semi Homemade. And I was like, why is this a cooking show? I do not understand why this is on television. But I'm all for semi-homemade at home. So I have never tried beef Wellington again, but I do have a friend who does it in like record time, and she uses two cheats. And one of them I love because it is such a Wisconsin cheat. So she absolutely hooks up the puff pastry. She does not do it in like with one whole beef tenderloin, right? She actually like buys the fillets. So they're each separate in an individual puff pastry. And then the last thing she does that I think helps it out a little bit, because it's a little bit easier to control the internal meat temperature and to be sure she's getting an even bake on it, is that she uses liver sausage instead of making the pate or the mushroom, the cook, and then you got to do the mush and it takes forever. She doesn't make the pate. She just buys the liver sausage, puts that on there, and it is freaking delicious. And I think the whole operation takes her maybe 2.5 hours.
Yeah. I mean, the thing with the beef Wellington and whatever kind of Wellington you want to do, if you want to be inspired and do it with a, you know, a pork tenderloin, make sure it's obviously cooked all the way to medium or plus or whatever. But it's all about putting things in there that you want. And that's what's food. So like there is Wellington from Hell's Kitchen, Gordon Ramsay, that we all know and love. But then there's also ways that you can cut things out of it. Like, people don't always understand that the true legit Wellington has an herb pancake, like a crepe, inside of that Wellington, along with the prosciutto and the mushroom duck salad and all that. And, you know, some people might opt out of that. That's not going to mean that your Wellington is not going to be any good. It's just going to cut out a step, and maybe, you know, you could swap that for something else. But I think cooking in general is really important for people that are at home that aren't trying to follow every step or every rule. Totally okay with swapping out ingredients or leaving something out. It's still going to be a beautiful piece of filet mignon or tenderloin that's wrapped in beautiful, you know, crispy puff pastry, and you have a nice sauce and some vegetables. Who can go wrong with that?
Yeah, it is one of my favorite like special occasion meals to cook. The worst thing for me when I made it was the fact that I was making it for New Year's Eve dinner. So by the time it finally hit the table, I was so exhausted. I basically served the meal and said, good night, y'all. Have a good time. I gotta go put my feet up. I'm exhausted by this. We got a great question.
Well, here's a good tip.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say real quick is just switch that off to 2 days of work.
Yes.
So you can, you get the filet seared and you get that wrapped up in the puff pastry with the plastic wrap and all that, that can actually hold overnight, and then you could do your next steps. That'll save some time.
Yeah, I am not what I would call the expert pre-planner. I am usually the, holy cow, I got to hit the grocery store and get all this done right now. I'm the one that's doing the whirling.
And get excited.
Yeah, exactly. I'm excited. I got the adrenaline, but it usually leads to the food is now on table, adrenaline crash. Going right to bed. Folks, we're taking your questions, challenging recipes, food questions, challenging ingredients. What you got for Chef Adam Pawlak? He's with me here on Tuesdays for a little segment we call Yes, Chef, a little relief from the politics of the day. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. We got a couple of questions coming in on the text line. We're going to have those and your questions for Chef Adam and my, you know, foibles and mistakes in the kitchen, my learning experience, if I can help you out at all. We're here for you. Again, that number is 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. We'll be back in just a moment here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Challenging ingredients, challenging recipes. I think we just took down the big dog, the Beef Wellington. But I know you got more questions out there. Keep it locked. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Back with more after these brief messages. What's up, Wisconsin and beyond? Welcome or welcome back. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I love being able to take a break from politics, and this is one of my favorite segments to do so. It is Tuesday in the 2:30 block, so it is Yes, Chef with Chef Adam Pawlak, owner and operator of Egg and Flour in the Bayview neighborhood of Milwaukee. We're taking your questions about recipe problems, challenging recipes, ingredients that always give you a hard time. We took down the big dog with the Beef Wellington last segment. You can always find our hot tips when you go to the past episodes of Yes, Chef at civicmedia.us. Check out the Maggie Dawn Show page. You'll find all of our past discussions there. We got a question from Ross in Crawford County. He wants to know a little bit about the use of a meat thermometer. He asks, I'm checking the temperature while the meat is still cooking on the grill or in the pan, or should I take it off and let it sit for a minute before I check the temperature? So am I like right in the oven or on the grill, or do I take it off, let it sit for a second, and then test the meat temperature with the meat thermometer? Adam, what's your take?
Yes, so I really like this question. There's a couple of things. Nowadays, it's a lot easier where they make these the meat thermometers where it's like digital and it's like a pin almost. It's not really like that thick probe that like we're used to back in the day where you can stick it in there and you could actually leave it in the meat the whole time that it's cooking, whether like the cord goes into the oven door. I've seen those where the magnetic thing goes on the door, the wire goes into the oven and then it stays in there. But what I say is whatever you're trying to hit, you know, 5 to 7 to 8 degrees, you know, leave that leeway for taking the food out of wherever you're cooking or off the grill or whatever, because the cooking will continue to keep happening and it will continue to kind of roll over in the resting process. And remember, no matter what you're cooking, whether it is, you know, seafood isn't really in this realm, but any kind of meat, where it's chicken, steak, lamb, pork, anything like that, always rest it. I would say a few minutes per pound, or at least, you know, minimum 5 minutes of whatever that you're going to have for protein that you're going to slice. If you're not going to slice it and you think you can plate it up and let the your guests or customers, whatever it is, slice your meat, that's fine. But if it's something that you want to slice for presentation or for portioning,
gotta let it
rest.
Yeah. Do not
for the buy thermometer. Some,
yeah, but do not buy beautiful meat and then cut it right away. You're gonna all the juice will come out.
Yeah, no.
So
no.
You
or cut it before you cook it.
Yes, that's also, I've done that a few times. Super helpful. Steve giving everybody a tip, texting in from the 608. I love this. He says he doctors up meals all the time, especially partially frozen things that he's putting together, just with a little fresh herbs, maybe a little acid to brighten it up. I love that tip, Steve. I use that myself for a little bit of the semi-homemade. Kurt from Madison is on the line. You've got a question for Chef Kurt. Go ahead.
I don't have a question, but I was wondering if I could share a pumpkin pie modification.
Yeah, go for it.
Let's hear it.
My mom was an awesome cook. She would divide the sugar, 1/3 white sugar, 2/3 dark sugar, get the total volume in that part of it. But the one trick she always put in there, and even my friends, when they have the pumpkin pie, they're really confused, add white pepper in it, which gives it the bite. And depending on how much bite you want out of it, you know, it's easy to regulate between 1/8 teaspoon to 1/4 teaspoon.
I love that. So I have what I'm going to call like my incognito ingredient that I sometimes sneak into stuff and people are like, what is that? But I love this. Kurt from Madison suggesting just maybe a little pinch, maybe a little less than a pinch of white pepper in your pumpkin pie. It'll give it a little bite. I know I don't have a huge sweet tooth, which is why I jam on the savory and the cooking, Adam. But one of my favorite super sleuth ingredients that I stick into a lot of stuff and folks are always wondering what it is like the tiniest little bit of ground clove, because it's got this really sort of like rich, almost like umami flavor to it. Do you have a super secret favorite ingredient that you sometimes go to, Adam, when you're trying to make something a little fresh, little different, little funky?
Yeah, I have two. So they have like it's most popular is porcini, but they do dry mushroom powder. So that's really good to marinate or dry rub on steaks or on meat. It's good to put in your pots when you're starting soups or something like that, where it really gets nice and rich. If you're making like a broth or a gravy or something like that, but really good for powdering meats and getting on meats for seasoning. And then my other one is, always when you're cooking proteins, when they come out and you're about to do that resting stage, is hit it with some kind of citrus, lemon, lime, orange, grapefruit, whatever, and brighten that up.
Ooh, I love that, especially with real rich meat. You know, if it's got a lot of fat in it, any of that little acid will help punch it up. Angie from Monroe,
oh, yeah.
You've got a question or comment for Chef and I. Go ahead, Angie.
I do. I'm learning how to cook gluten-free for a client, and everything I seem like to bake seems to be dry. Is there anything, because I use that regular all flour that you can buy that's gluten-free. Is there any way I can make it moister? Everything I seem to bake seems to be dry and crumbly, or is that just the way gluten-free stuff is?
Great question, Angie. I am not a gluten-free person, so I'm going to pass this one to Chef. Got any tips for making the gluten-free baking a little more moist? This is one of those quandaries. It is a baking quandary.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, for baking, but when I talk about a extra garnish on top and make them forget that it even is gluten-free. So if you're doing a cake, buy some good sauce.
So Angie, I had a hard time hearing Adam right there. I'm going to text Adam, Angie, and I'm going to put the answer to your question in the show notes for today so that you can get that. Gary, we're not going to have a chance to get to you. When we come back, I'm going to be joined by Congressman for the 2nd District of Wisconsin, Mark Pocan. We're going to be talking about what all of this tax talk and wage talk and corruption talk means for Wisconsinites here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.